Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. We appreciate you tuning in and being a part of the broadcast. And each and every week, it's good to have the whole team together. We've got the whole crew. No more traveling. At least we're not traveling today or at the moment. Traveling later today, but good to have you with us. Again, this is June 4th. Already into June. Hard to believe that. Past Memorial Day. Last week, I did a broadcast on my experience based on my time at the Lincoln Leadership Institute. It was a tribute to all of our veterans who are part of our industry as well as those that are not, but just a tribute to all the veterans. And I talked about leadership, the importance of leadership, and my experience at the Lincoln Leadership Institute. If you have not listened to that broadcast, I encourage you to go back and do so. It was very extemporaneous. It was just me sharing live with my experience I had there in Gettysburg, the couple days, 2.5 days before Memorial Day. What a memorable experience. I encourage you to go back and listen to that broadcast. Today we're going to be talking about what is going on in the industry, how there's been significant events that are taking place, so many significant events, and we're going to be talking about that. And many of you write me, and when I see you, they go, Dave, we love it when you have guests. They're always good. But it's really nice just to hear you talk with Alice, Joe, and Andy about all that's going on in the industry. And that's what we're going to do today. There's been a significant resignation within the industry. That is David Stevens. He's getting back into the private sector. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about leadership. Where are things at? Where are things going? And then I'm speaking at a conference in Detroit later this week, give you a sneak peek on some of the things I'll be talking about as well. So without further ado, let's get into talking to our good friend, Joe Farr, the guy that has is it a crystal ball or at least
a great
crystal ball. At least got a great screen on what's going on.
I'm the guy who said rates couldn't go much lower.
Yeah, exactly. I thought about you on Friday as the jobs report came out and all of that. I was as you know, Joe, I was on CNBC. I interviewed.
Right.
There by Maria, and it was just fascinating to hear the perspective. Yeah, it's you don't think rates can go much lower, but we're playing the limbo game, and we went a notch lower. So anyway, what's going
sure
on today?
Wow. Well, we're giving a little bit of that back. We're down 430 seconds, which is relative calm compared to the last few days. This morning, factory orders came out more of the same. It was much lower than expected. You know, last week it just everything that came out was worse than expected, and so factory orders this morning really didn't cause any movement in the market. But MBS prices are down a little bit, and the stock market's down a little bit too. And we don't need any more of that, do we?
No.
Yeah, there is huge negativity in the market right now with all the uncertainties that are going on with Europe and you know, the political process here. And so we're going to focus at least on the one positive out of all this, and that is that we are at all-time record low mortgage rates. MBS prices last week rose over 100 basis points, in some as much as 130 basis points. Ginnies rose a little better than Fannies, and in the end, for the week, MBS prices were up that much, and it resulted in close to 15 basis points in rate reduction. So the one positive out of all this is that we have very, very low mortgage rates.
Yeah. Amazingly.
Yeah. For the negative, though, which far outweighs the positive, in my mind, Dow was off 350 points, off a little more today. Jobs are hard to come by. Very, very poor jobs report. All the U.S. economic announcements last week were short of expectations, and expectations weren't very, very high.
No.
In addition, there's weakness in China, Germany, Brazil, and you know, just all of Europe's a mess. So the market's really being driven by a lot of negativity, and we are the safe haven, and that's been good for mortgage rates.
Yeah, it has been. Do you have any sense of, you know, how much lower it can go and what's going to have contribute to it this next week?
Well, this next week's going to have not a lot of economic announcements, but there's going to be a lot of other stuff. For instance, the ECB meets on Wednesday. The Fed chairman's testifying before Congress on Thursday, and there's going to be a lot of attention paid to that given the weak economic events of last week really give the Fed more reason to do a QE3. In fact, I think that to the extent that there is no indication of QE3, that'll be bad. As opposed to if there is mention of QE3, it might not be so good, given that it's already built into the market somewhat. So, you know, the external factors are going to play heavy on the mortgage market in the next week or so. With the Fed being a big part of it, and whatever comfort or lack of comfort comes out of the ECB meeting and other events in Europe. Somewhat too, I think tomorrow's Wisconsin recall election is going to have some influence.
That's interesting you'd say that, Joe, because I think so too. I think we are now starting to see politics get involved in a lot of what's going on, and if in fact the unions, which and many outside the state, are successful in recalling them, I think that may give you an indication what's going to happen in our upcoming elections on a national scale.
I agree.
And if he doesn't, if they fail, then I think that's going to be, it could be a rallying point that there is more of a shift in momentum towards there's going to be a change in administration, possibly a sweep of the House, of the Senate, and the White House. And if, in fact, that takes, then that has another whole set of implications. So I think you're brilliant in your analysis on this morning, saying that it is going to be very much a pivotal issue, and you would never think otherwise.
I really think so. It's an indication of the will of the people to do what is fiscally responsible.
Yeah, exactly. That's really fascinating. That's really fascinating, isn't it? When was the last time, Joe, that you saw politics potentially playing such a significant role in our interest rates in our industry?
Well, you got to go back to 2008 when it wasn't so much politics as desperation and the ultimate uncertainties, but we are certainly close to that again.
We certainly are.
So much to not have a sense of comfort about, and a large part of it being politics, given all the things that need to happen between now and the end of the year with what's been referred to as the cliff, the fiscal cliff.
Yep, and the fiscal cliff, yeah.
Adding on to the other political uncertainties.
It is definitely going to be an interesting week on the political front. Not so much economic news, as you say, but we'll be tracking it. And for those of you that are using MBS Quote Line, guess what? You're going to be on top of it. For those of you who are not, well, not sure what you're using, but you should be using MBS Quote Line. MBS Quote Line. Joe, thank you so much.
There you
we'll
go.
Be right.
Thanks,
we'll
Dave.
Be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to mbsquoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. mbsquoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you back with us. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Many of you tune in just for this next segment of tracking all that's going on. And that one, you know, know you tune in for all aspects of this. I didn't mean to make say one aspect of this more important, but certainly this was an area that's getting a great deal of attention as I travel around the country, and people say, boy, I tell you, that Alice Alvey, how does she stay on top of all this? There's so much to track. And Alice, it's been a little while since we've got to get a fresh update and all this, so what's happening out there?
Hi, Dave. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, here's how I stay updated. On a Sunday afternoon while my husband's barbecuing, I'm reading regulations.
aren't you the most exciting person to be married?
I know. He thinks I'm a little nuts right now. I said, yeah, but remember that firestorm we were talking about? It's here. You know, we all kept saying, wait till the summer, and it's starting. So we got the loan officer compensation, you know, on the table now being discussed. And then, of course, we end up with that the CFPB reopened the comment period for the proposed ability to repay rule, which AKA is our QM rule. So if you remember, just as to kind of get everybody a quick refresher, the original proposed rule closed for comment about a year ago, July 22nd. And that was just one day before the CFPB, or one day after, and then the CFPB got its authority, as you know, July 21st. So they only really had a day in this, which is no time at all. So essentially, they're starting over now with two components of QM, not the whole thing, just to focus on two very important aspects of this and how you define the ability to repay, and then the litigation impact, which has been a lot of discussion, especially at the MBA Legal Issues Conference. So right off the shoot, what I want to make sure you recognize is you can send your comments to regulations.gov, and you can go to the website, www.regulations.gov. You have to reference the document number, and the simplest way to do that is with the RIN number, because then you don't have to reference a particular agency that you're responding to, like are you CFPB, Federal Reserve, for those of you who are regulated. So the RIN number is 3170AA, as in Apple, 17. So it's best to use that number. The comment period is open until July 9th. So you have 30 days here to kind of get your comments together on how you want to respond. So for a loan to be a qualified mortgage and exempt from the risk retention requirement, the way it's written now would be that it had to be a standard product, fully amortizing, 28-36 ratios, 80 LTV for a purchase, 75 for a limited cash-out refi, and then 70 for a cash-out, and a 690 credit score. And what's interesting, and in the rule, it actually doesn't say a credit score. I mean, in the rule, it gives credit guidelines and basically doesn't use a score. But what CFPB has said is take a look at these parameters and these statistics. Well, and then they say, well, FIFA gave us data, but we can't share it with you.
I love that.
Right. Okay,
we know
great.
Something that you don't, and we're not going to tell you. God, I love
right.
that.
Right. We have this data over here, but it's proprietary. We're not allowed to tell you. So here's what you do. Page 4 of the write-up that the CFPB has issued, page 4 of this rule, I should say, this proposal has a link, and Earl, and if that's too much for you to go through, just send me an email. I'll go ahead and send this to you and send you the link that you can go to be able to take a look at some data. It's the mortgage market note published April 11th by FIFA, by FHFA. And in that report is where they have a lot of statistics that I found absolutely fascinating. And Dave, I don't know if you want to save this for the second part of the show, or I can just give folks a quick, you know, heads up now that those statistics.
Go ahead, give it now, and then we'll discuss it in the hot topic segment. Yeah.
Okay. So here's how this works, folks. Page 4 of the rule has this footer. Go to this FIFA report. The report states that credit score and LTV are the items that most reduce the ever 90 delinquency rate. So in this report, they use this what they call an ever 90 day, which essentially is it really was a foreclosure. It really went to an REO. It had final action after being 90 days, not that it went current again. They're using millions of loan data sets from Fannie Freddie and so forth, but certainly that's not all-encompassing of private investor data. So the PITI rule impacts the most loans but has the least impact on improving the 90-day delinquency. So I found that very interesting, that if you kept in a rule, like, you know, in order for it to be a QM, it's got to have 28-36 ratios, that single factor was going to impact the most, the greatest number of loans that would miss the QM benchmark, but it also then would have the least impact on improving the 90-day delinquency. So you have to ask yourself, well, what stats are we working with? That doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
I thought the whole point was to get the delinquency, that these factors impacted delinquency. So the challenge is the data range that they're working with. This report's, you know, back last year. It's got 2010 prior. Obviously, 2007, 2008 data is really throwing everything off. So it's trying to look through all that, and that's what it takes industry experts like those of you who listen to this show and go look at this data and then compare it with your own. And they need info to help kind of get a guideline that, you know what, 2836 is going to block a lot of people out of home ownership. What's interesting in the report that you want to go take a look at, this FIFA report again that I'm talking about, this mortgage market note, it also shows what happens if we made the ratios 30-38. What if we made the LTV 90 but kept the credit scores the same, you know? Or what if we made the ratios lower, 26-34? Ouch, that hurts. What if we said the QM was a 720 score? So you've got to get your opinions out there about stats at your company to be able to help them see the impact that this really could be absolutely dramatic and desperate on if we excluded so many loans. And I can't keep two things. The ratio issue, I think they even say in that report that it's not a huge impact on the delinquencies to make these tight ratios. And what's really interesting is when you look at ratios in the years of the boom and even and look before 2007 when you look at these charts and you'll see there is not a huge difference in defaults when even you get into the 40% ratios. I mean, it clearly shows the statistics that automated underwriting was basing its decisions on, you know. So lots of info in there to chew on and relate how that works with your markets, because I know all of you on the call, you all have different markets and different client base. So the table for the DTI the tables for prior to 2004 shows that the DTI didn't really have an impact on default rate. Now, we all know people had a plan B. They could sell their house and get out of it. You know, housing appreciating was a whole different ballgame then. The other thing that doesn't make sense is the fact that they're using credit scores in this analysis when the rule is clearly saying we don't get to use credit scores.
God.
I'm baffled, okay? I'm like, wait a minute. Great. You know what? I would love that there's a firm number, because the way the rule is written now is that you would have to go with that, you know, if, for those of you who may not remember, the current rule in QM says current on all debts, no 60-day delinquencies in the past 2 years, no bankruptcies or foreclosures in the past 3 years. So you could have a 690 credit score and have someone who might have been late in the last, you know, or is delinquent on one debt right now, maybe a 1x30 or something. You know, so it doesn't match up that we're trying to use score and analysis because that's the only data we have, but the QM doesn't use a score because they don't want to use a proprietary scoring model in a law, which, okay, we got to figure this out. So feedback we need from everyone right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then the second area, like I mentioned, is about litigation, litigation cost estimates. This is an area that they've really got to try and get a handle on. The letter from MBA that was issued about a year ago in July, it referenced some cost estimates. There's lots of argument that cost estimates, you know, are going to be a big difference on whether we get a safe harbor or a rebuttal presumption of compliance. So get your comments out there on that aspect. And, you know, we're very concerned that a customer could assert a violation of ability to repay requirements as a defense to foreclosure. And would it be retroactive or not, right? When did it go into effect? And so there's lots of things to address on that front as well. So they're trying to keep it narrow comments about these aspects, PI, or, you know, payment ratio and debt ratio, LTVs, and the credit, but really a lot of DTI focused. How do you document income? And, you know, look at the questions that they're asking in response. Now, so the main thing about this, folks, is this is just stage one. And actually, it's really pre-stage one. because they're going to take these comments. There's no specific deadline, and then actually issue a proposed rule. So we'll get another formal comment period, then a final rule. So the good news is this is pushed back a little bit because there's no way they're accomplishing all that in 60 days.
did I just say it's good that it's pushed back because they're reloading and they've just dropped the bullets that they're using and they're going to cannons? Is that?
It's hard not to feel that way, but the battle is still going on, and we've got to stay in the battle,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so. That's so true.
So that's the main thing on that CFPB rule. I know everyone's very focused on the LL comp, so like we said, this summer is it on really knuckling. I know you're busy with refis, especially after listening to Joe with low interest rates.
Low interest rates,
In any case, I'm sure we'll have future shows on the LL comp as that moves forward as well, because that certainly is a dilemma for folks. So lots of things in the news. I do want to give everybody a heads up. Many of you may have gotten a letter from MERS about an audit coming up. You were supposed to have procedures in place auditing your stuff from MERS, you know, kind of the three-legged stool approach, we call it, back last summer, and they're reminding everybody that that's due. You need to make sure you're auditing your MERS data. So if you have any questions about that, don't hesitate to send us an email.
Okay, everyone's going to be, you're going to get barraged with emails. We've got a lot of people listening live and a lot of people on a
that's
city basis.
That's all right.
What is your email address? Tell them, everybody, so they can write it down real quick.
A-A-L-V-E-Y, so A-L-V at mortgage, dash U, we have a dash, the letter U, .com.
All right, so A as in Alvy, I mean as in Alice, A-L-V,
at mortgage, dash U.
Yep, mortgage dash U. All right, don't forget that dash. That'll mess you up if you don't get that in there. But get it. Email her. She'll send this information out to you folks. It's very, very valuable. So much going on, and we're going to be picking this up and talking more in the hot topic segment about this and what seems like a battle line that's arrayed against us. We're going to talk to you how to respond. There's the definite do's and don'ts. We'll be right back after this brief word.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
Each and every week we get to have, or most of the weeks, we get to have the Prophet Doctor with us. But the Prophet Doctor has been just a tad busy lately, keeping track of all the things going on out there, helping companies achieve profitability. But it seems like lately it's stay out of trouble. And there's the CFPB exam preparedness that's out there that you got to be aware of. Dr. Shell, Prophet Doctor, Andy, give us an update.
Well,
talk to us about the CFPB exam and what they could do to be prepared.
First, Dave, after listening to Joe talk about rates, I have a new strategy for my next refinance. I'm going to wait until the rates go so low that the banks pay me to borrow money.
Yeah, that one may, that, you know what, who knows, stranger things have happened, so what do you think?
Okay. Well, you know, there's a lot of press out there today, the last couple of weeks, about CFPB exam preparedness.
Yes.
And I wanted to touch base on that just a little bit, because it sounds incredibly ominous, and it can be, and it also sounds very invasive, which it can be. So it's important to understand what the scope is and what they do and how they're going to do it and how you can be as prepared as you can be. So I'm going to touch base on that just a little bit. You know, having spent a career in regulated depository mortgage banking, I'm used to dealing with federal examiners coming in, state examiners coming in, and that's basically the team that's going to be coming on to the mortgage banks. It's going to be the folks that were looking at commercial banks. Pardon me?
Do you ever really get used to them coming through the door with the way they come through the door with the questions they have? Do you ever really get used to it, Andy?
Well, when you're prepared for it and you know what they're going to ask, exams, federal exams, are open book tests. It's not a secret. It's not a area where they're going to open up a drawer and say, you know, why'd you buy this pencil? There are very, very specific things that they look at and specific things they want to see. And when we were teaching CPAs about mortgage accounting and mortgage LO comp last December, we even had what we refer to as the multi-state mortgage committee state non-depository examiner guidelines for Reg Z loan officer compensation rule. So what this is every area that the examiners are going to come look at will be based on documentation that they receive that's public information, that if you know how to get it, you can get it. And you can go in and look at what they're going to look at. You know what questions they're going to ask. And if you know what questions they're going to ask, you know how to deal with answering them and making certain that you're prepared for them. So being prepared for an exam basically means get ready for the open book test. So as long as you know the rules, you know what you're doing, you can defend what you're doing, you know the questions they're going to ask, then yeah. When we used to have exams, when I was the CFO of commercial banks, we would be ready for them. We'd have the package ready. We'd know what they're going to look at. We'd answer their questions. Now, we wouldn't know the loan sampling. They would come in and sample loans. So you don't know that yet. But you do have an idea about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And we would come in, and we would get with them, and we would say, we're here to help. If you have any questions, let us know. Just complete open book. If you don't understand something that we're doing, be sure and ask. We'll be happy to help. Just be right up front and be supportive, and you know, don't put them in the basement, back in the corner, in a dark room. Let them.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you feel like you want to do, but be open, be supportive,
no.
Be have discussions with them. But the most important part is understand what they're going to look at, understand what your answers are going to be, know how it's going to be addressed. And you know, David, I don't want this to be a complete monologue, but one of the things they're going to do is they're going to say, we have here your NMLS mortgage call report your RMLA and your FC, your activity and your financial condition report. Let us see your financials and let us see your LOS data that supports the numbers that you put on these reports and submit it to the state. And they better tie. This is one of those things. We've been talking about this for 2.5 years.
We've been talking about
this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I don't know about you. I see you were a good student in college. You prepared and all that. But I was the guy that did the cram for the exam. And this is not one of those tests that you want to cram just before the exam. Would you agree with that?
If you cram before the exam, you will most likely fail. And if you fail, the findings can be very, very, very difficult, even to the extent that you look at having your license suspended, having fines, having penalties. It's just, well, why go there? Why run that risk? You know, if you know the questions they're going to ask, be prepared for the questions. If you know what they're going to look at, be prepared to respond. And I'd start by making certain, have an independent group, have us, we'll do it, there's lots of people that can do it. Have your CPA do it. Make certain that your NMLS call reports that were submitted to the states are supported by actual detail. Dave, we're working with a group here just a couple of weeks ago, and I was asking them questions about their call reports. I said, well, go ahead and send it to me. And, oh, by the way, let me see the detail that you used to create this. And they go, well, we don't have the detail. We estimated it. We just guessed. We think, you know, it's about what this is, and because their detail out of their payroll system didn't give them the information.
Wow.
So I said, you know, you better go back and look at what it really was. Look at your actual payroll run. Because, you know, for the call report, you've got for the financial condition section, you've got to report originator salaries, processing staff salaries, secondary marketing staff salaries, management salaries. You know, you have to report all those on separate lines. And when the CFPB comes in, they're going to look at each one of those lines and look at the detailed payroll registers, add it all up, and make sure it ties back. And my fear, and I don't want to, you know, be the boy who cried wolf or, you know, Chicken Little, the sky's falling.
I don't think you are, Andy. I don't know. Say it. Put it out there because I don't think you're at all being negative.
But my fear is that many, if not most, mortgage banks are going to fail their CFPB exam when they start getting into the review of the call reports. The ones that we've looked at, many of the companies we're helping are getting them tuned up, but not all of them are tuned up yet, and they're going to be wrong. So what you need to do is go look now, and if you need to, file an amended report, figure out how to do that with your state, but get the right data. Because when the examiners come in and discover that you're wrong, that's going to be worse than if you admit it in advance.
You know what, Andy? You just, forewarned is forearmed. You just cannot get this one wrong, folks. And if you want some help on this, you've got to get a hold of Andy. Get him on the phone. Call him. Email him with your questions about this. Andy, what's your email? We got Alice's out there. What's yours?
Well, the easiest way to get me is just go to our website, mortgagebankingsolutions.com, and then click on the About Us tab, and there you'll see all of our team. But my email address is aschell, S-C-H-E-L-L, so A-S-C-H-E-L-L, at mbs-team.com.
Good, folks. We'll be right back after this brief break. Call the Profit Doctor. You know what? You call the doctor. Don't wait till you're sick. Do some preventive medicine. Don't cram for the exam. Get ready. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you with us. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And oftentimes, not as often as you'd like, we have Tony Garitano that comes onto the broadcast, gives us an update. That's all. It's what's going on in the world of technology. Folks, I'm telling you, technology is going to be a bigger part of the future than we ever thought. It's more important that you have the right technology solutions, what's right for you. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's a very unique thing. You've got to stay at what's going on. That's why we're excited to have Tony Garitano be a part of the broadcast each and every week. Tony, good to have you here with us today.
Good to be with you, Dave.
Good deal. Well, if you could see me scrambling before the broadcast, I could not get our switchboard open up. I had to dial into the phone, so if I don't sound normal, it's only because I'm having to use a different phone than I normally do to visit with you. But let's get into talking about some of the things that are going on. I know there's been some more recent, it seems like another announcement after another of news happening on the technology world, Tony.
I agree, David. You know, one of the things that I think is really quickly becoming a trend is technology vendors launching some kind of mobile app. I mean, I know we talked about this right after the technology show about a month ago, and since that time, Dave, I think I've written about maybe three or four technology vendors that have launched mobile apps, and I just heard about ISGN launching a mobile app for their settlement services division this morning. So I think that's definitely a trend that we're seeing.
Yeah, I think we're seeing. Where in the life cycle of processing a loan is a mobile technology, and is it best suited to improve things, or is this just one of those faddish trends? I mean, what's your perspective on mobile technology?
I think, the iPad has been around for just 2 years now, and the smartphone for a little bit longer. So I think that the mortgage industry, as usual, has taken a little bit of time to actually get caught up to this new technology trend. But I think mobile is certainly here to stay. It's going to change how we do mortgage lending. For right now, all of the mobile apps that I've seen are geared towards agents that have to be in the field, whether it be a loan officer, a closing agent, a notary, an appraiser. It's really, for right now, an application that you use when you're out in the field doing some kind of work that then is going to be integrated into your loan origination system or sent over to the lender when you get back into the office.
Well, going forward, can mobile technology really reshape the mortgage process? I mean, is this a trend that we can genuinely anticipate happening?
I think we can. I mean, I know personally of two loan origination systems that still have yet to announce their mobile strategy this year, Dave, and I think that what you're going to see is these loan origination systems are going to start incorporating more functionality into the apps aside from just, hey, if I'm a loan officer on the road, I can use this app instead of bringing my laptop with me. And I think once one loan origination system does that, the others are going to quickly follow. And you're going to see new approaches to loan origination systems in either a full or a quasi-mobile environment that I hope will improve the process and not just be, here's your LOS in a mobile app.
Yeah, here's the deal. Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, was, you know, amazed at what I was able to get done with my my iPad. I got more accomplished. I had more people on airplanes come and says, I can't believe you could do that on that mobile device. And I go, I did. But, you know, there are limitations based on the current mobile technology. That's going to keep us bound to I should ask it in the form of a question. Do you feel there's limitations of the mobile technology that's going to keep us bound to some type of more robust computing system, the laptops that are out there?
I think so. I mean, that's certainly going to be the case for at least the next few years, Dave. I mean, certainly there's security issues that people are concerned about. But I think that the more, for example, if you look at the iCloud through Apple,
right,
you know, that really allows you to connect your iPhone, your MacBook, even your TV through the iCloud, as these devices become more interconnected and the technology really opens up, you'll see people using those apps and interchanging them with their notepad or their PC or their desktop, and it will be just an extension of business as usual. And my hope is that it comes across as something that's more easier, that's something that's more efficient, something that makes the mortgage process more transparent and hopefully more trackable, if that's a word.
Yes. Trackable. I like that. Yeah. Well, I think that it's already integrated into the as a tool. We're going to see more and more of it. I'm now traveling. I have a my iPad, my iPhone, but I'm also now traveling with my MacBook Pro or my MacBook Air that I carry, and it's just I had to go back to it because it was just too much of a stretch. Tony, thank you so much for being with us, and appreciate you tuning in. It's good to have you back on the broadcast. We missed you there for a while, my friend.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, you greet everyone out there in the world of technology. Folks, if you want to learn more about what's going on in technology, head on over to the website, progressinlending.com. Outstanding articles, publications out there. Tony is definitely keeping us up to date on all of that. Tony, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate you being here, and we look forward to having you back hopefully next week.
I look forward to it, Dave. Thanks.
We'll be right back, folks, with this after this brief word.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lincoln on Lending Show.
Good to have you with us. Appreciate you tuning in. And we're going to get into one of my favorite things that we do on the broadcast. Love having the guests that we do, outstanding guests that we get the privilege, and we do have some lined up here in the future that are going to be outstanding. But as many of you say, I just love to hear how you guys digest. That's all that's going on out there in the marketplace. So we've got Alice, Joe, and Andy are going to jump in here with me in just a minute. But I want to open this Hot Topic segment up with this. We've only got about 20 minutes to go here for the rest of the broadcast, but I want to share some things. One of the things when I was in Gettysburg, again, I attended the NBA has an event that's being done in conjunction with the Lincoln Leadership Institute at Gettysburg. And as implied, it's at Gettysburg, and we stayed there. Again, go listen to last week's broadcast over Memorial Day that I did to describe in detail. But when we were there, the cool thing about this particular leadership training development program is that you sit in a classroom, you watch pieces of the movie, the Gettysburg, and you see certain battles, and then they'd shut the screen, the movie down, and then we discuss the battle, what were the things that were going on, what were the factors that went into the decisions on how to battle certain things, certain aspects of this, and then the importance of the high ground, the importance of the left flank, all these kind of battle strategies. And I go, man, this is interesting. I never thought of battle strategies being so pertinent to our business. But boy, never was it more brought home than we studied the battle called Pickett's Charge. For those of you who are Civil War buffs, understand these battles. One of the battles that took place on the third day, I believe it was on July 3rd, was it 1868, whatever the year was, and it was Pickett's Charge. He was one of the division commanders, and he marched a whole division of his soldiers right towards the enemy lines. And you go, man, that's insane. And you get out there, and we went from the classroom after discussing it. We went literally onto the battlefield, and we walked that mile walk, that distance towards the from where the Confederate soldiers started out towards the Union soldiers. And it's a good distance away. But as they walked, the Confederate soldiers walked towards it. The Union cannons, long-range cannons, opened up, and they started destroying. They destroyed about 10% of the Confederate troops, but they kept marching. What's interesting, what kept them marching was the fact that the person standing next to them. And so they marched under peer pressure, which I think has got some interesting components to it. But they marched towards it. As they got closer to the Union line, the Union soldiers opened up they changed up the artillery, the cannons, and they opened it up to something like a huge shotgun. And there, in that battle, Pickett's division was basically wiped out. In 45 minutes, 10,000 soldiers died. And it was the most – you look at it and go, what insanity. First of all, they're marching for a mile long towards an enemy who's up on a hill, and they're marching in an open field. You look at the movie and you go, why would anyone fight like that? As we look at our mortgage industry, I look at how we are fighting our battles, and sometimes it has the same level of insanity about it because we are not getting strategic, and that's what I want to get this Hot Topic segment teed up to. So we do not want to have a Pickett's Charge. We don't want to see a lot of casualties within our industry, and I think it's really critical on how we form our battles. So I want to get back and open this segment up with Alice Alvey. Alice, when I was there and walking this line, you could just see up in the hill all these Union soldiers. The metaphor here is that, you know, there's those that are on the hill. In this case, for us, it's those in Washington, D.C. on the hill, and that are putting regulations down on us, and it feels like it's artillery of what we're walking up against. Alice, one of the reports that came up from one of the other major lenders over there, we had Wells Fargo there, B of A, J.P. Morgan Chase were three of the larger entities that were represented. We were talking about how the CFPB, and I couldn't believe this when I heard this, but I think it's accurate, but I want you to test it, is the CFPB has got to release or is planning to release one new regulation a day between now and September 1st. Is that right, Alice?
Well, I think that's what people are talking about that they would have to do in order to meet all of their deadlines.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're hoping for, you know, that there are extensions and time frames that they can't meet, because obviously when you hear that, that's not possible. I mean, it just doesn't appear to be humanly possible.
You don't think it's possible. Yeah, you don't think it's possible, but my God, when you have all the resources behind you, the federal government. So that's one of the things where I'm thinking of Pickett's Charge if in fact we are going to see that many new regulations coming on us, we can't even respond to the ones that are out there. I mean, it seems like we're struggling as an industry to respond to the ones that are already out there, Alice.
Well, I think, but what's really important is to not let yourself get overwhelmed by those things, right? So if those guys coming up towards that field would have thought, hey, we're all going to die, they're going to all run in the other direction, right?
Yeah.
We can't afford to do that either.
Exactly right.
You know, so you have to just take your strategy. Remember, those regulations include a lot of things on the security side. It's not just simply the mortgage side. So those of us on the mortgage side, we've got to stay very focused on what we know today. We know we've got LO comp out, and we know we have QM out. And to stay very focused on those two at the moment, you know, as these things roll out.
Well, Andy, you were talking in your segment about preparedness. And I think one of the things that you read the book and our study, a student of the battles that took place there at Gettysburg. What are your thoughts on this metaphor I'm using, and how do you feel that we are prepared to take on these battles?
Well, one of the things that we need to remember is that things that seem crazy to us today didn't seem crazy at the time. And
yeah.
So people get stuck in paradigms, and people believe what they believe for the reasons they believe them, and are convicted to their beliefs to the death in many cases. So just because they thought it, and we in retrospect 150 years later think, well, that was really dumb. Well, it wasn't dumb at the time. And so
while
we as an industry start looking at what's happening to us from a regulatory perspective, you know, our people that are just in the industry today, when they're our age, may look back and say, why didn't you guys – be proactive. Why didn't you guys address this? Why didn't you guys talk to your senators about these points? And we want to make sure that that's not the case. I want to give you a real quick side note. When I first started working for a commercial bank in 1978, I was working for a woman that had been there for 20. I am old, Dave. And good thing, you know what?
Wait,
you're older
than
me. So I was working for this woman named Alita, and this was near Dallas. And she'd been in the bank probably 20 years by then, and every day or every week we would get this booklet, this little packet of papers, and it was the updates to the Federal Register. And
every
she
day?
Would take that book, well, not every day, every week, however often they came out. They came in the mail, this little packet, maybe it was every 2 weeks. I don't remember how often it was. But what I remember is I would watch her, and she would get out the Federal Guide, 5.63.16. She would open it up, and she'd read all these updates that came in, and she would personally file this update to the Federal Guide every time the package came out, and she would read everything that came out.
Wow.
And that's what we as an industry have forgotten about. We don't pay attention to the regs. We don't pay attention to the rules. We just kind of go make more loans. And as a depository, which is where mortgage companies are going to be regulated by now, you've got to slow down, and you got to read the regs when they come out. And we're not doing that, and we have to go back to that, I think.
Well, you know what? I think there's two thoughts that come to mind. First of all, we got to introduce that gal's husband to Alice's husband because they suffer from the same disease, being ignored and being regulated. here's the point of it. The second thought is this is not new. This is the fact that we're getting the onslaught of regulations. Banks, regulated institutions have been dealing with this, like you've been talking about, Andy, for a long, long time. Joe, you were a part of a bank. Your thoughts on this? I mean, you saw this.
Right. Going back to your metaphor, I'd say don't count on a ceasefire. Certainly don't count on a truce. And
call in
reinforcements.
Yeah, I think it's –
Call your realtor friends, call your builder friends. What CFPB is going to do – and Alice, to your point about can we expect delays in the deadlines. Mitch Hatter, who we've had on the show a number of times, who I have a great deal of respect for, does not think so. And it is inconceivable to think that there'd be 167 such rules issued, and by now it's probably more than one per day.
Yeah.
But it's like I say, call in reinforcements. Get your realtor friends. Get your builder friends. Anyone involved in the home buying business is going to be impacted by this in a tremendous way.
And I think that's the point I want to be really – how do we tackle this? You know, when we started that walking across that open field, we were all very critical of General Lee. And why would he order a division commander like Pickett to walk across something like that? Well, the reason was – is that in previous battles, when they showed up in a massive force, the Union soldiers turned and ran. So he had a proven strategy that had worked in times past, but it failed because of one thing. The Union soldiers had an absolute resolve that they were not going to give up the ground because they had a cause. The Union soldiers had lost faith in their leaders, and if you read the books and read history, but they had not lost faith in themselves nor the cause that they were fighting for. And I think that's what we're battling here, folks, is we're battling a battle where there is a great deal of sentiment that go against this industry still as a result, right or wrong. I mean, forget right or wrong. It's the sentiment we're fighting and the regulations, no matter who's in the White House, no matter who's in the House and the Senate, we're going to be dealing with these regulations. So to Andy's point, the banks have been dealing with it, so we can. Alice, I'm going to come back to you. Some of the comments they were talking. Go ahead.
Just going to say to your point. So here's where I think is. So if you say, what does the CFPB believe in? They believe they are standing up for the consumer.
Yes.
And so that's when you say, okay, what's the right strategy then for attacking that? Do consumers want us to tell them what they can afford and to what extent?
Right.
I think we've talked about this working paper series that's out there on why did so many people make so many ex post bad decision, the causes of the foreclosures crisis. These working papers really talk to, there's a big part of the consumer in this, reason, in the failure, and then subsequently the reason we got these rules. So, maybe there's a way to attack it from that aspect as well.
Well, I think
that's
an important
point.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I mean, I think, Joe, what you're saying is call your builders and realtors and get them on it, because you got to get them to talk to the consumers and say, when consumers start getting impacted by this, it is going to, without question, have an impact on them in a negative way. Let's talk about how to respond. We talk about the pickets charge. They all lined up and they marched forward. You talked about, Andy, about the fact that they should have recalibrated. As Joe said, they should have rethought, but retreat is not an option. You've got a battle that's in front of you. You can't retreat from this one. They've got artillery. It's focused at us. So how do we go down and deal with it? One of the things is how we communicate and through whom we communicate. We as an industry can get on the phone, and I think we'll have a certain level impact with our senators and that. But you know what, folks? What do you all have in your database? Customers. You need to be writing your customers and telling them, get on the phone. I may not be able to refinance you with some of the programs I have if some of these regulations continue to have, or I may not exist to refinance your loan. Your thoughts, Joe?
Well, I find it interesting at the same time the Department of Justice is beating up our industry for taking steps that deny certain people rights, the whole desperate impact thing about a policy change.
Right.
Yet what CFPB is going to deny, is proposing to do, is going to deny huge quantities of people. An ability to take out loans. And so what arguments they're making, they being the administration or the government's making, on one hand, they're violating those very same principles on the other. And the end result is the consumer's going to be the one to suffer from this, whether it be an inability to get loans or the price at which they have to pay to get a loan.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Andy?
Exactly. Well, I was thinking about that, Joe. That's a great point. I don't know how we would include this on our adverse action letters, but when people get declined, they should call their senator and say, I got declined. I've got this and that, and I should be able to get a loan, and I can't. Why can't I? And the consequence that people are getting that isn't necessarily that visible, I've got a rent house, and I keep getting these notices from Zillow telling me that my market rents are now, more and more and more and more. And, it's like $400 more than I actually charge. And I'm thinking, wow, there's pressure on rental rates. Rental rates are going up. And then you look at the apartments, and they're full. And so people that are trying to rent are having to pay more to rent the place. Landlords are being able to be more picky because people can't buy a house. So what are they gonna, they have to have a place to live, so they're going to rent. But I think we're on the right track here. I think the consumers need to step in and say, I couldn't buy a house. I should be able to buy a house. I want to be able to buy a house. My landlord charges me all this money. It doesn't ever fix anything.
Exactly right.
This isn't right. Let's deal with this.
Well, and it's going to take all the control away from the lender to be able to make those frontline decisions, because what the CFPB is looking for is, okay, what's the right amount of reserves for this DTI? What about residual income? What type of debt does the consumer have? I mean, that's incredible level of detail to try and legislate. And then to your point, how do you make that kind of a hard and fast formula work for all income ranges, all geographic ranges? I mean, it's just they're trying to legislate underwriting at a level that will really knock out financing for a lot of consumers.
We are at an ideological struggle in our country, folks, that is, you know, should regulation, should government get bigger and tell us what we can and cannot do? I made this statement some a couple programs ago, and I've made it every number of times when I've been speaking. I'll make it again this week when I'm speaking up in your fine city of Detroit, Alice, when I'm speaking at the Mortgage Builders Conference, Users Conference. And it is this, that regulators are getting in your business. Are you getting in their business? This, we just had our primary here in Texas. I've never spent so much money and time. Now, it wasn't vast amounts of money, anyone listening to things, that trying to influence things. But the little what I did, I got more involved with my time and energy and literally went down to the Republican headquarters right after to watch the primary. So here's the reason. I want to encourage these people. We're here pulling for you. There is a new population that's coming out of the woodwork. Do not ignore us. And so I really think it's important to get involved in politics. Number one, they're getting involved in your business. You might as well get in theirs. Number two, you need to start stirring up your customer base, folks. You've got a database. You should be using it. You should be using it to resell your services to them anyway. But now you have a mission that comes back to their loan, their home, where they're at. If you want to help them down the road, you've got to get them talking to their congressman to get the CFPB to back off on all regulation a day. You know, we used to say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I think it's a regulation a day is going to keep the mortgage industry away. And, folks, you don't want to have that's what we need to be communicating. Alice, let's I'm looking. We've got three minutes left here before we got to start the drums and get roll up. Your closing thoughts on this? Sorry for ranting on, taking up a lot of time. I want to hear.
That's what we, you know, so a regulation a day is going to impact consumers. I mean, the consumers have to, I agree with you, that the message has to go out to the consumers. I think a lot of LOs are really busy trying to close loans right now. Well, just think of how fewer customers would qualify, let alone appraisal issues, if they, you know, with those tight DTI requirements. I'd like to know every congressman who might meet those DTI requirements.
Oh, no kidding. Well, they probably got special underwriting for them. That's a whole other deal. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, just an update on the market. We've had a little fall in prices since we've been on the call. We're now down 7/32nds, and if you got prices early this morning, there's a risk of an unfavorable price change coming.
Ew, okay. Well, that's interesting. What's driving that again, did you say?
It's just they've no real news. It's just that we had such a large run the last couple of days.
Yeah. So it's kind of correcting itself, getting back to what?
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit of a self-correction. Andy, your thoughts?
Well, I think we need to address this issue with ongoing regulation as something that's not going to go away. We need to be consistent on our response to it. You know, it's like going to the dentist. This isn't just going to be having a tooth pulled. It's going to be putting on braces. It's going to be a long, long process to get this thing formed. So we
That's
need
a
for
great analogy. This is not going to the dentist getting a tooth filled or a root canal done. This is braces. That's good.
It's going to take a long time. And we need to have our originators talk to every customer that gets declined and say, boy, we're sorry. We hope we can do something for you in the future. Oh, by the way, here's a phone number. Call them and tell them about your story. Tell them why. Tell them you got declined. You don't understand why. And they need to make it so that you don't. It's just going to – every single day we've got to get somebody to call. Every single day we've got to take action. It's going to have to be methodical, and it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be just one time.
You know what, folks? You have got a customer base. Use them. You should be talking to them anyway, but now you got something more to talk to them about. It's not just you can do another loan for them or refinance them. You probably could. Rates are that low. But again, stay in touch with Joe Farr, what he's doing there at MBS Quoteline to find out what's going on. And, of course, for your training needs, you got to call Alice. She makes even the most boring topics exciting and fun to listen to. and then the profit doctor on the CFPB preparedness. Folks, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. This week I'm going to be in Detroit speaking at the Mortgage Builders User Conference. Very excited about being up there. And Alice, I get to see you and Jan Wetzel and a lot of the different folks out in the Detroit area. Excited about that. Then I'm off to Detroit to work with Wyoming. Now, from Detroit, I'm going to Newark, New Jersey. Going to be working with one of our clients out there. So, busy week of travel. Folks, have a great one. Appreciate you being a part of the broadcast, telling others about it. Have a great week, everyone.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.